All right, Rabotai, so we're in the book of Shofetim, the book of Judges. We're in Perek Aleph. So last week, we started the book. We only got, 3 Pesukim in. And that took us about an hour. Basically, there were still some enemies of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael, that they had to be rooted out. Yeshua told them that before he passed away, that there's still some unfinished work that has to be done. So the first thing they did after Yeshua died is that they sought counsel from the Urim V'Tumim, from the Kohen Gadol's breastplate that he wore. And they wanted to know which tribe is going to fight the enemy first. Who's going to be up first? And the Urim V'Tumim answered, Yehuda Ya'ale, the tribe of Yehuda. And the Urim V'Tumim also predicted that he's going to be successful. Last week, I think you remember, we went and explained why Yehuda goes first, and what's the significance of rooting out the Goyim from Eretz Yisrael, and we made all sorts of connections between that, and then somehow we connected it to the parasha. So the pasuk begins in pasuk Dalid, Vaya'al Yehuda. Yehuda went up to fight. Vayiten Hashem et Kenani vaPerizi biyadam. Biyadam is plural because the pasuk before that said Yehuda took Shimon with him, so Yehuda and Shimon went up, and they were able to conquer the remnants of Kenani and Perizi. Vayakum beBezek at the phone company. The place was called Bezek. Today in Israel, the phone company is Bezek, but that's got nothing to do with this. This was the place called Bezek. Aseret alafim ish. Look at that. 10,000 people. Boom. Killed them. Vayimse'u et Adoni Bezek bebezek. Vayilahamu bo. So it seems that the king of that region was a fellow called Adoni Bezek. So they found him. Vayilahamu bo, and they fought him. Vayakum et Kenani et Perizi, and they kept on pounding the Kenani and the Perizi. So far, the story is not so exciting. It was a smash victory. Two tribes went. They went to Bezek, they killed 10,000 people, it sounds like they captured the king. So the pasuk says, Vayanos Adoni Bezek. So he was on the run. They caught up with him and he ran. So now there's a chase between Bnei Yisrael and Adoni Bezek. Vayedifu Aharav. And they pursued him. Vayirohazu oto. And they caught up with him. And now the story begins, what they did to Adoni Bezek. Now, they didn't waterboard him, because waterboarding is illegal. So you're not allowed to torture the enemy when you get them. So in the government, they used to take these, captors and put them under the water and hold their head under the water till they're almost going to die, and then let them up again. They do it again until they break them, until they just, whatever, they'll spill every secret because they don't want to suffer. So you're not allowed to torture people that you put into captivity. That's American American law. But it seems that that wasn't the law in Israel at the time. Because when they caught Adoni Bezek, it says, Vaykatsetsu et behonot yadav veraglav. Instead of decapitating him, they de-thumbed him. They cut off his thumbs of his hands and his feet. But they're not allowed to waterboard, but this was okay. The world is going on over here, Abotai. They caught it, he's a goy. I mean, it doesn't sound like something we're allowed to do. And it's something that's a normal practice, and it's just a random thing. And you want to kill the guy, kill the guy. He's an enemy, so he can kill the guy. I have no problem with that. But they didn't kill him, they tortured him in such a, you know, odd way. I mean, once he does that, he can't work for the rest of his life. I mean, he's basically, you know, he's basically finished. I mean, look what he writes here in the Malbim. Kach natan Hashem b'da'atam. It's almost like
random.
You know, they got the idea to do this. They had certain urge to do this. In the Malbim's lashon, kach natan Hashem b'da'atam. La'asot lo ma shelo asu zot leshum achem me'oy behem. They did something to Adoni Bezek that they never did to anybody else. When they got to Adoni Bezek, the Jewish soldiers looked at each other and they said, you know, are you feeling what I'm feeling? And I said, well, what do you feel? I'm feeling we got to cut this guy's thumbs off. He said, I don't believe it. That's exactly what I'm feeling also. And the other guy said, yeah, I'm feeling it also. They just felt a certain urge to cut this guy's thumbs off. He says, V'hu ksat neged chokei Yisrael. It's even a little against the Jewish law. Ki harigat zayin amemimu besayif. The way you kill the seven nations, by the sword. Finish. Lo letza'aram. You can't torture them. So, was their hunch correct or not? It means, why did they have this urge from Shamayim to do this gruesome thing to Adoni Bezek? So the Pasuk writes, Vayomer Adoni Bezek. Now this is something that Bnei Yisrael was not aware of, and they only become aware of it after they did it. Adoni Bezek makes a confession. And he says, Shiv'im Melachim, there were 70 kings that were in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Shiv'im Melachim, 70 kings. And what did he do, Adoni Bezek? Behonot yedehem veraglehem v'kutzatzim hayu. He did it to them. He cut off their thumbs and their toes of their feet, the big toe. And therefore, he basically caused these 70 kings to be unfit to make a parnasah, because they can't walk, they can't use their hands. Hayu melaketim ta'at shulchani. And they were under my table, not the thumbs, the kings, collecting the crumbs from my food. They became so poor. So then he makes an unbelievable confession, Adoni Bezek, and he says, Ka'asher asiti ken shilamni Elohim.
Wow.
He said, what goes around, comes around. He said, what I did to others, that's what God did to me. Vaybi'u Yerushalayim, they brought him to Jerusalem, vayam ocham. And he dies in Jerusalem. And that's the end of the story. That's today's episode, the Botai, on the book of Shofetim. You see over here an incredible story. Klal Yisrael had an urge to do something, and it was Min HaShamayim that they had that urge, because the guy got exactly what he deserved. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You cannot escape from the... the justice of God. Elliot, what do you have to say about the wheels of justice?
They grind slowly, no, but surely.
So you have over here, you have over here an unbelievable situation where Klal Yisrael has a certain intuition to do this, and after they do it, instead of Adoni Bezek taking the Jewish people to the international court at The Hague, you know, for war crimes, instead he comes along in an amazing admission. I mean, to admit such a thing is not so easy. They didn't know what he did. I mean, he could have taken that secret to the grave. Instead he comes along and says, Rabotai, you have to know, Hatati, Aviti, Pashati. This is something that I did to 70, to 70 kings, and I caused them to, and therefore, what I did, God is punishing me. That is a confession of a sin. He's recognizing what he did was wrong. Basically, Adoni Bezek becomes a Baal Teshuvah. And we give the guy credit. The man was able to confess. He saw the midah keneged midah. He didn't deny it. Now, you look at that as something not so praiseworthy, but it is very praiseworthy what he did. There's a story in the Navi, we'll get to it when we get to the book of Yirmiyah. 100 years from now, Bezat Hashem. In Yirmiyah, at the rate we're going, we're not keep this a week. So in Yirmiyah, it tells a story over there of one of the false prophets, Hananiah. And the prophet Jeremiah goes to Hananiah and says, what are you making all these false prophecies to the Jewish people? Because of what you did, I'm predicting through prophecy that you're going to die within the year. The Navi says that Hananiah eventually died in the seventh month. Only problem is, the seventh month is Tishri, which is the beginning of the next year. So he died after the cutoff point. So basically, Yirmiyah was proven wrong. And that can't be. Yirmiyah is never wrong. So that she brings down from the Midrash that actually Hananiah died on Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Wow.
And he told the family on his deathbed, don't bury me until after Rosh Hashanah, so we can make Yirmiyah look bad. And that's what they did. So therefore there was like a question, Yirmiyah, so he saved face. Now, what should he have done, Hananiah? Right, exactly. She's on the deathbed, and mind you, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Huh. It's not Erev Purim, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, where anyway, everybody's doing that anyway. You know, we're fasting Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're making tikkun and all that. So you figure Erev Rosh Hashanah, everybody's contrite anyway. Imagine if he would have just lied on his deathbed and said, Rabotai, Hatati, Aviti, Pashati, the prophet is right. You know what type of Kiddush Hashem he would have made? You know how many people that Rosh Hashanah would have made Teshuvah in the Zechut of Hananiah, where they would have said, it's amazing, there's a prophet in Israel. And he knows he's dying anyway, so what's it, you're dying. It's not like you're going to be embarrassed anymore, you're dying. It's not like you're going to say, oh, look what happened, they got you. You're dying, nobody's going to know anything. But he couldn't come to the to the admission or to the truth that he was wrong. But to what extent, gentlemen, to what extent that he's willing to suffer not to be buried for 2-3 days? I don't have to tell you the tzar that the body goes through when it lies unburied, the bizayon. He'd rather take the bizayon and the tsar and the pain of all that goes with that in order what? To save himself to something that he believes is more painful. And what is that? The Zeh Hatati. That's even more painful than what he's going to go through, because you have a choice. Pick your poison. So he picked, I'd rather take the least poison to me, is I'll suffer. And that's easier than to say, I was wrong and Yirmiyahu was right. I'm only giving you that example, gentlemen, to show you how great this Adoni Bezek was. I mean, if you were one of the 70 kings that got their thumbs decapitated, you don't think he's so great. But in retrospect, after the fact is over, I mean, the guy comes along and says, yeah, I deserve it. I deserve it. Hashem did this to me, and that's it. I accept the judgment. Hatati aviti pashati. That's a... You know, it's a big level. Where's the regular? Here's the Chumash. I'll tell you why. What is that? No, I need this one here. The famous Haftarah in Parashat Nassau. Right, Shimshon. Very good. You have a minute to go through that Haftarah again, Rabotai?
Sure.
There is Nassau.
It's coming sooner than later on.
Yes, sure. So the pasuk says there was a fellow called Manoah. Okay. The ishto akara velo yalada. His wife was an akara. His wife had fertility issues, and as a result, she could not bear children. Vayiram malach Hashem el aisha. An angel appears to Mrs. Manoah. The Gemara says in Baba Batra, Daf Tzadi Aleph, her name was Tlatponit. Vayomer Elea, so the angel tells Eshet Manoah, Ine na at akara. Behold, you are a akara. Velo yalad. Therefore you don't have children. But good news, Veharit, you're going to get pregnant. Veyalad et ben, and you're going to have a baby boy. Now, she is going to run to her husband and tell her husband what just happened. This is a major event here. This is not that she took a pregnancy test. This is that a malach came to her from Shamayim and said, you know, I know exactly what's going on. You're going to have a child, and it's going to be a boy, and so on and so forth. So, but tavo ha'isha, that's the lady, v'tome li'isha, li'ish shela, to her husband, lemor, isha Elohim ba'elai, man of God came to me, umareu kemare malach Hashem, nora me'od. It's an incredible thing. It's awesome. V'yomed li, and he tells me, inach hara, the yoladet ben. Behold, you were pregnant, and you will have a child, a boy. Now, Rabotai, she omits information.
Mm-hmm.
She did not tell her husband everything that the angel said. No, not that part. She says that part. Are you aware of what the part that she skipped?
She's
Hazak Baruch. Let's go back to the text. Vayomer Eleha, the angel told Mrs. Manoah, Hinena at Akara. Behold, you are an Akara. When she goes to her husband to tell over the story, she conveniently leaves that part out. The Midrash responds to this omission. And the Midrash says, something amazing. In those days, they didn't have fertility specialists to know whose fault it is. You know, is it the man's fault that he has a problem over there, or is it her fault that she has a problem over there? They didn't know. So what did Manoah and his wife do all these years? We're blaming each other. That's your fault. Your fault. You can't have children. I married an Akara, and she's an Akara. Who says my fault? It's your fault. And they went back and forth. This was a big.
But he had children from the other wife.
Manoah had children from another wife? That's the wrong story. So what happens is over here, Manoah and Tlalponit having shalom bayit for many years on this issue over here. Whose fault is the fertility? Which is, that's one of the added pressures of infertility, that it puts a strain on the husband and the wife, because now each one thinks it's the other one's fault. I got stuck with this over here. I got stuck with the Akara. Now the angel comes along to Mrs. Manoah and says, "I'm going to give you a secret. It's your fault. You're the Akara over here." She goes back to the husband and says, "What a day we had today. Angel came to me, said I'm going to get pregnant, said we're going to have a baby, said it's going to be a baby boy, it's going to be a Nazir, it's going to be everything." But she does not confess to Manoah that it's her fault.
Some things never change. She'll never admit that.
She'll never admit. But what do you see from here?
That all women are the same?
Well, that you didn't need this episode to teach you that. What you see from this episode in the Navi is that, again, look how great Adoni Bezek is. Because it is not easy to admit that it was your fault. You see how much Eshet Manoah struggles and she can't do it. And mind you, this is a lady that's worthy of seeing angels. So you're not talking about some, arhi parhi, some bourgeoisie.
Angel came for her, not him.
Thank you, Moritz, for that clarification. So she was on a very high level. And nonetheless, and who's she confessing to? She's not writing it in the New York Times. He's telling her husband, listen, by the way, he also said it was my fault. And what do you think about her husband? I told you so, you're not going to do that. It's his wife. He's happy that she's pregnant. It's over. Once you get pregnant, you forget about the past. All the past is forgotten. And still she couldn't come along and say, you were right and I was wrong. Hear what's going on? Again, I'm bringing you this story to again show you how great Adoni Bezek is when he comes along and says, they cut my thumbs off because I did it. And this is Midah Keneged Midah. It goes around, comes around, and God's punishing me. And Atati Aviti Majati. And he's a goy. He's a goy. So that's a... And I don't think it's a coincidence that who's the one that captures Adoni Bezek? Which tribe?
Yehuda.
Yehuda, as we know, that's why last week, you're right, you're a good doctor. Well, we know that when Yehuda is being blessed by his father, the end of his life, So first, Reuven is given a rebuke by Yaakov. You move the furniture without asking. And therefore you're punished. And then Shimon and Levi come for the blessing, and Arur HaPam curses them. Curses their ring. Yehuda was scared. Yehuda said, that's it. Everybody's getting a Musar over here. So he shied away from his wife. He goes, I'm dead. He said, if they got cursed on misdemeanors, I did a federal crime. Because he went with Tamar, the daughter-in-law.
Right.
He impregnated us, so forget about that. Yaakov is going to... Reuven only moved the bed. Yehuda was with Tamar. So all of a sudden he said, Yehuda, come close, come close. Yehuda! He calls him, Yehuda! Because he was shying away in the corner. He said, Yehuda, come over here. Ata yoducha reicha. The Targum explains, At odeta vela behetet. You're a great man, Yehuda. You admitted your mistake. when you came along and you said tzadikah mimeni, that it's from me, even though you could have hit it up, you could have, you know what it means to confess such a thing? Eshet Manoah couldn't confess that she had infertility problems. That's how difficult it is to confess. And the false prophet Hananiah couldn't admit Erev Rosh Hashanah that Yirmiyah was right. So for Yehuda the Gadol Adot admit that he went with Tamar, which to the eyes of the people is considered scandalous, at least, although it was halakhically, let's say, legitimate according to the Mefarshi. But it's scandalous in its idea. For him to say it was me, after he just ruled that you have to burn her and the baby that's in her womb, the babies that were in her womb. I mean, it's a stunning admission of the tzaddik Yehuda. So look how God brings the right person to the right situation. It is Yehuda that captures Adoni Bezek. And it is now you have two men that have something in common. Both were kings of their tribe, and both had the strong power to come along and say,
"I did it.
I did it.
Guilty.
And I was wrong."
Wow.
So that's just the way God brings, Megelgelin zechut al yedei zakai. Yehuda and Adoni Bezek have a commonality in that.
In a way, you're aiding for Abraham's word. Abraham asks, what did Manoah ask? What will be with this kid? He goes back to that, he wants to answer the mother.
Right, that's a chinuch chedush.
So you're aiding to it because at that point, he...
Correct, she couldn't admit. It's tiring listening, Elliot.
No, it's tiring.
Okay, just saying, it's hard to listen. So now what happens? So what happens is now. There's a story in the Gemara. It's not so well known. I guess if you learn Gemara, it's well known. So the Gemara is over here on Nun Zayin, I think, in Pesachim. So the Gemara says a story over here. That there was a fellow called Yisachar Ish Kefar Barkai. Okay, what do we want to know about this Yisachar Ish Kefar Barkai? So the Gemara says about him that there was a heavenly voice that came into the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash, and it said, "Tse mikan Yisachar Ish Kefar Barkai." Tzemikan, go away, get out of here. They evicted him from the Beit HaMikdash. Shemechabed et atzmo, v'mehalel kodshe shamayim. The man respects himself, but he disrespects the service of the Avodah of the Beit HaMikdash. Now he was a Kohen. So how did he disrespect the service that they kicked him out? The heavenly voice kicked him out. Zemikani Sachar Ish Barkai. Da'aba karich yadeh b'shirai. When he used to serve in the Beit HaMikdash, he wore gloves. Va'avid avodah. What's the busha? So he didn't want to get his hands dirty. He doesn't want to get his hands dirty, as if to say it's dirty. You're dealing with the korbanot over here. Korbanot, it's kodesh. But he was a finicky guy, put gloves on. So he's worried about himself.
White gloves. With the regulation of the state.
White gloves he wore. And then the regulation of the state, right, the health department. All employees must wash their hands when they come out of the bathroom. So over here, what happens is, they say, mizalzel. It was considered a disparaging thing. Okay. So you have to learn over here. When you're serving God, you take off your gloves. When you come to shul and you pray in the winter, you take off your gloves. You don't keep your gloves on when you pray. You're worried about your own kavod. You're praying for your sinning in front of the king. You take off your gloves. Ben Yishchai says, a girl, a lady, when she's getting the kiddushin, she shouldn't have a glove on. Anyway, the Gemara says, what ended up happening to this guy? Now, after they kicked him out of the Beit HaMikdash, so they want to visit him 30 years later. Where's the guy? They find him, in a factory making, whatever, his widgets. With his baseball players. After they leave baseball, the guy was making $100 million a year. 2 years later, the guys, they find him in, he's working for Anheuser-Busch in the beer factory, putting caps on the bottles of beer. So they want to know, what happened to Yisachar Ish Barkai? What happened to the end of his life?
Not good.
Remember Ed Mickey Mantle? The guy was the greatest baseball player for the Yankees. At the end of his life, he's selling Brill Cream. Remember the Brill Cream?
Shaving.
The shaving.
Little devil do you.
Little devil do you. And John DiMaggio, they put him in the money store with Phil Rizzuto. So it means they end up in nowhere. So where did Yisachar Ish Kefar Barkai end up? Amne Malka Umalketa Avu Yadver. So the king and the queen, I guess of the Goyim, she says Malche Bet Hashmonae. So the king and the queen had an argument amongst themselves. What was the fight? Remember the story or don't remember the story? Malka Amar Gadya Ya'e. Malketa Amra Imra Ya'e. They're arguing, what is the better piece of meat? So one says the Gedi is better, the goat. And the other one says, no, the sheep is better. They have an argument. The king and queen have nothing better to do. They're bored. This is an argument you only have. You have nothing. If you have all the money in the world, you have nothing else to do. So they have nothing else. They're arguing about everything else. So the last thing is on the thing to argue about is now which meat is the better meat? Is the Gedi better or is the Kevis better? So they said, the king and the queen, they said, we're bringing the experts. Amru man mukhah. Who knows about meat better than the Kohen Gadol? So let's bring a retired FBI agent to give you a consultant on Fox News. So they bring in the consultant. Who's going to know about meat? Sam wasn't around in those days. Sam wasn't around. They couldn't bring in Sam. Although he would have given the answer.
Absolutely.
He would have said, none of the above. There's a third meat that you don't know about. And he would have...
AK-5.
Anyway. Man mukhah Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol knows. The kam masik korbanot kol yoma. Every day the guy's bringing korbanot. He's eating korbanot. So he's going to know what tastes better. Ata'ihu. So they bring in Yisachar Ish Barkai. Achve biyade igad yaya'e yasik litmida. So he said, there's a korban tamid. Now the daily korban is brought by a sheep. So he said, if the gedi was better, then they would bring that on the daily korban. So it must be the kevis is better than the gedi. He made it very, very simple when he came to give the answer. What are you talking about? He waved his hand like that. He said, come on. What are you talking about? If the Gedi was better, they bring this a Qurban to me. So the king, he was happy that he got his answer, but he wasn't too happy the way he... you're talking to a king and a queen that he's waving his hand in front of him. He didn't like that gesture. Amar Malka, queen, hu'il velo habele imta de malchuta, since he doesn't have the proper fear to the queen, to the kingdom, nifsok limine, we're cutting his right hand off.
Wow.
So what did the guy do? Yehab shohad. He went to the decapitator and he bribed him and said, do me a favor, cut the left hand off. The right hand, He needs the right hand. That's what he writes with. He, you know, whatever he does. Is that right hand? Is he right? So, okay, if you have one of the hands, you want to cut off, so cut the left hand off. So the guy accepted the bribe and they cut his left hand off. Shaman Malka. They heard about the bribe. Upaskeli Mineh. And they cut his right hand off also. You hear what's going on over here? Anyway, that's an amazing story. It happens in the times of the Beit HaMikdash. Now the story should end here, and you know, whatever the lesson is. And then the Gemara has a PS to the story. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Now Rabbi Yosef is hundreds of years later, after the Beit HaMikdash, way after. He's in the Amora. This is already happening in the times of Tanaim. So Rabbi Yosef heard the story. Hundreds of years later, he's getting excited. He said, Berich Rahamana, blessed be God, the Ashkelel Yisachar Ish Kefar Barkai, the Mitrefese Mine Behai Alma. Blessed be God that he took the revenge for Yisachar Ish Kefar Barkai. In this world, he got his just desserts in this world, and he didn't, you know. Now, what is Rabbi Yosef? I mean, this is a story that Rabbi Yosef's getting excited. First of all, it happened hundreds of years before Rabbi Yosef got. When he heard this story, he's okay. Well, you tell me some, you know, tales from the Second Temple. Berich Rahamana. So says the great Rav Rabbi Menachem Azariah Mipano, that Yisachar Ish Barkai actually was carrying the neshama of Adoni Bezek. Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai, a.k.a. Adoni Bezek. And therefore, Borei Olam said that it's not enough what Klal Yisrael did to Adoni Bezek, because after he did it 70 times.
Wow.
So therefore he had to come back again, and he came back in the Gilgul of Yisachar Ish Barkai, of that king Adoni Bezek, and they cut both his hands off, and Abi Yosef says, Baruch Hashem, he was getting excited because he understood the sword of the Gilgul. He said, "Berich Rahamana Yishtabach Jemo." He said, "I was waiting to see what's going to be with this Adoni Bezek." He said, "Now you're telling me that the Ish Barkai that cut both his hands off, Baruch Hashem, this is a full circle of Tikkun Neshamot of Adoni Bezek." So Adoni Bezek of the Book of Shofetim really ends up in Pesachim Daf Nun Zayim. The sequel of Adoni Bezek's journey to Tikkun happens in the Gemara Pesachim. That's, you know, that's the final tikkun of it. So, and he says he got his punishment in this world, and he ends up leaving this world as a Baal Teshuvah, as a repentant man. And then the pasuk concludes Vayamot Vaybiul Yerushalayim Vayamot Sham. I mean, he ends up getting buried in Jerusalem. People go, you know, across the world, at the end of that, I want to be buried in Yerushalayim.
When was it buried?
Adoni Bezek, yeah. Well, that shows he made his tikkun. He was coming back closer to where he's supposed to be. Not everybody gets a zechut to be buried in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is very discerning. Who allows to be buried there? Who doesn't allow to be buried there? You know, people have all plans to be buried in Yerushalayim, and sometimes it doesn't work. He happens to be that Klai Yisrael, right after that war, was going to Yerushalayim, so they took his body with him. Wow. And he ended up being in Yerushalayim, but he was about to Jerusalem, and the earth of Yerushalayim received him, accepted him. Now, I'm not bound, as you know already, in my contract, to connect the Navi with the Parashat HaShavua. Yeah, but I'm not obligated. I'm obligated to say something on the parasha. I'm not obligated to connect. But once in a while, we connected. In this case, it happens to be they made it easy for us, because the first time the Torah mentions Yerushalayim, and the Torah is in this week's parasha. Mm. Melchizedek was the king of Shalem. In those days, Jerusalem wasn't called Jerusalem, it was called Shalem. Salem, you know, Salem, Massachusetts. It was called Salem originally. Shalem. And he met with Abraham. Abraham, next week's parasha, the parasha of the Akedah, he'll name the area Yira'eh. He named the temple Mount Yira'eh. So now we have a problem that we have two tzaddikim and each one's naming the city a different name. He called it Shalem and he called it Yira'eh. So now they need to file for, to the Chamber of Commerce for the name. And they don't want to get involved and put your head between the two tzaddikim. Shem, Melchizedek says it's Shalem, and Abraham says it's Yira'eh. So they make a compromise, and they take the Aleph and the He of Yira'eh. Aleph is one, He is five, so that's six. So they turn the Aleph and He to a Vav. So Yira'eh becomes Yeru. And then they take the Shalem, and they turn it to Yerushalem. And that's how you get the name, Yerushalem, Jerusalem. Don't ask me how we get Yerushalayim. They added an extra yud in there somehow. Probably because the Gemara says in Ta'anit that there's a Jerusalem in heaven and there's a Jerusalem on earth. There's twin cities. You know the twin cities?
Minnesota.
So there's twin cities also. Ha'ir shechubbera la'yadav. So the plural of Jerusalem is Yerushalayim. Two Jerusalems, which hence is Yerushalayim shalman, Yerushalayim shalmata. But nonetheless, so the city of Jerusalem, which is the city of the tzaddikim, of Shem ben Noah and Abraham, he gets buried in that city. Now, regarding the parasha that we are reading, God tells Abraham in the beginning of the parasha, he tells him, Ve'eskan le'goy gadol, I'm going to make from you a great nation. No. Jaime was in the shul last night. He heard a
blockbuster.
His words, not my words. His words.
We didn't get it this time. So.
What do you mean? We gave it twice.
From the afternoon? We had the lead.
That was it.
Oh, blockbuster.
same blockbuster. Ladies was even better than the men. Sometimes it happens like that. Yeah, Menachem had a wedding in Lakewood, so he couldn't have videos. Anyway, I was in the restaurant 2 weeks ago, and a guy, well-looking guy, sport jacket, tie, nice tan, middle-aged guy comes up to me and says, Rabbi Mansour? I said, yes. It happens a lot. I'm expecting to say, please, it's on me tonight. Let me come up. I'll pick up the bill. He wasn't that nice of a guy. Anyway, I guess he saw how much we were eating. He's in that pass. He thought we just came for dessert. Anyway, he says, I just want to say, Shkoyach. Shkoyach, why Shkoyach? He said, I listen to the Rav's Shia every Thursday night. Okay, where are you from in Jaya? West Palm Beach. We added West Palm to the satellite last year. So now all our friends in South Florida in that section, they gather together on Thursday night. They watch it live on they have it in Muncie as well. So Tomer is able to watch it live on Thursday nights as well. It's Panama all over the place. So he was a regular guy.
Nice.
So he shows you have, from this technology, you can have students all over the place. Oh, it's really incredible.
Really nice.
Anyway.
We run the largest... Rabbi's the largest Rosh Hashiva in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talk in front of eight people, but the word goes out to many people. People only know that how badly attended this class is. I mean, quantitatively. Qualitatively, all our members are worth 100,000 people. But if they'd only know that the class that goes around the world is attended by eight local guys, and we have to pay two of them to show up. And three are sleeping, and one. Anyway, I accept that as a tikkun. Adori Bezik got a tikkun. Obviously, it's better getting your thumbs cut off. So I'll take this. That's what it is. I'll take it. Keep my thumbs. Anyway, the story goes like this. So So God says to Abraham, "I'll make for you a great nation, and I will bless you, and your name will become great." Va'agadela shemecha, Rashi says, "Ze she'omrim Elohei Yaakov." Your name will become great. Your name will become great. Ze she'omrim Elohei Yaakov. I wouldn't have said that. I would have said your name is going to become great. Ze she'omrim Elohei Abraham.
How did Yaakov get?
Where did Yaakov get in the picture? Which means Abraham's name was Abraham. That's a small name. I'm going to make your name big.
Abraham.
No, I'm going to make your name big. Ze she'omrim Elohei Yaakov. In previous years, of course, we said over different interpretations. One from Rav Shlomo Astropoli. It's a famous one. We won't repeat it now. We know that one already. This year, I saw one of the Sephardim bring down that Yaakov had two names. Yaakov has Yaakov, and he also has Yisrael. Now, Yisrael obviously is the more important name because it has El in it, it has God's name in it. Now, if you call Yaakov Yisrael, now, Abraham also has a great name. He has the letter He from Hashem's name in there. But Israel is better than Abraham. Abraham only has a He of Hashem. Israel has. So if you would call Yaakov Yisrael, then Abraham's name is downgraded. Israel's got the better name. Yaakov's got the better name, Israel.
Nice.
So the Pasuk says, Va'agadela Shemecha. I'm going to make your name greater. That's why we call Yaakov Yaakov. By calling Yaakov Yaakov, it makes Abraham's name remain on top. Ze she'omrim Elohei Yaakov. Understand that? That's one new novel way to understand that how Agadah Shemekah is going on that. There's another interpretation. As all of you are aware, Abraham Avinu was not born into a religious family. As a matter of fact, he was born into a family that of idolatry, idolatrous family. Not only did Terah worship Avodah Zarah, but he promoted it. It was his business. He was a wholesaler of idolatry. He sold the Pesalim. Bad guy, Terah. Bad guy. Yashi, at the end of the last week's parasha, calls him a rasha. And he was. That was a rasha. He's a bona fide rasha. Keep in mind, it's Terah that would call the government on his son. He ratted out his son. He rats out Abraham to Nimrod, and has no problem with Nimrod throwing him into a fire. So Terah is, I mean, forget about it. Terrible. Avodah Zarah. And he did Shevichut Damim of his son. And it says that he went with his wife when she was Nida. Mm-hmm. So that's Gilu Arayot also. So I mean, Arayot, he hit the trifecta. Gilu Arayot, Avodah Zarah, Shevichut Damim. That's Terah. So Abraham, when he's born, it took him time to come around. It took him time to figure it out. Farshim say that he finally got clarity at 48 years old. Takes time. What do you want from Abraham? He wasn't born in the yeshiva. So 48 years it had to be worked out. Although it shouldn't have taken that long. To be honest with you, it shouldn't have taken that long for Abraham to reach the clarity of monotheism and one God and sort it all out. Because, as all of you know, the Ibn Ezra in last week's parasha. The Ibn Ezra in last week's parasha, in the beginning, if I'm not mistaken, Ibn Ezra says, he says, Noah is Sadiq Tamimaya Bedorotav. Noah lived in generations. Bedoro Be'eta Mabul, he lived in the Mabul. Ubedorot Chayu Harab, he also lived in the subsequent generations. Kiyu Haya Ad Chaya Avraham Ben Nun Het Shana. That means Noah was around until Avraham was 58. So for 58 years of Abraham's life, Noah was there. Vasimanu v'Avraham Avinu ben Noah ka'asher met Noah. That gives it evidence. Abraham was Noah when Noah died. Noah's 58. Da'atam Sofer says, Ele toledot Noah. This is the story of Noah. Period. Noah is Sadiq Tamim haya bedorotav. There was another man who was Issa Dik Tamim, that's Abraham. Ayab Dorotav, he lived in the generation, and he lived it for Noah years. Eta Elohim Etalech Noah. That second Noah walked with God. Eta Elohim Etalechti Lefanai, like it says. So therefore the first Pasuk in the Torah is hinting that they were around 58 years. So the question then is, how come Avraham didn't go to Noah and Noah didn't give him clarity? You're not going to get it from Terah. We don't see any interaction with Avraham and Noah. In this parasha, you see an interaction with Avraham and Shem, the son of Noah, who was a survivor of the flood. But you don't see the episode where Avraham and Noah are interacting. The question is, 58 years. So that means Abraham, if he would have learned with Noah a little, he could have figured it out at Bar Mitzvah already, would have had the clarity. And Noah would have told him, listen, there's God, I spoke to him, there's a flood, I was there, we fed the animals, we did, whatever the story is. So the Mefarshim say that, again, we didn't come to, to disparage Noah. But it's back to that same old, that same old story. Noah was a great tzaddik, but the tzaddik of Noah was to himself. It's interesting. His children and grandchildren, they opened up a yeshiva, Shem Ve'Eved. But Noah did not be a yeshiva. What did he need Shem Ve'Eved for? How come we don't have yeshiva at Noah? I mean, Shem Ve'Eved could open up a yeshiva. He assumed his father could open a yeshiva. There was no such yeshiva. Noah wasn't interested. Noah. Noah walks with God. And that's how Abraham, he never saw him. He never had an interaction with him. And of course, Abraham pays the price. For 48 years, he's searching. That's why it's important to, he has to go out and help the people. You would have saved Abraham Avinu a lot of lost time. But my point is for today's talk is that anybody that finds themselves returning to God at a middle age or the nature is that they look back at the wasted years and they can fall into a depression. Guy wakes up at 40, and he says, for 40 years I was, who knows what I was doing until I found the emet. And he could get down on himself. He's wasted all that time. Not even wasted, but he was sinning and doing all bad things. And the Yetzer Hara, of course, wants to keep you looking at the past. And he doesn't want you to look forward, because he knows if you look at the past, you'll get stuck in the mud, and therefore you won't be able to go forward. They'll keep you, miyuash, hopeless and helpless. And the comfort to that is what? Avraham Avinu, Alav HaShalom. Avraham Avinu is the comfort of that. 48 years. He's searching. Avodah Zarah. None of us worship Avodah Zarah. But Avinu was in that world. And Baruch Hashem, on his own, he didn't get any help from Noah. On his own, he was able to get himself out of the ditch. And he becomes, Hadaya Avraham. There's only one Avraham. It's the greatest man, arguably, that ever lived. So that's a consolation.
Was he sinning?
Was he sinning? What are you saying, Rabbi?
Meaning, he didn't sin until 48.
I don't know. In my Gadash of Pesach, it says, Terach, Avi Abraham, Avi Nahor, Vayavdu, Elohim Mahadim. At a certain point, he was worshipping Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Abinu. And I can't tell you if it was at 6 or 8 or 32.
It wasn't at 3 years old.
Rabbi Cohen, do your homework. Come back to me with information. In the meantime, I'm telling you that Avraham Avinu came to clarity at 48 years old. I was careful with my words. I didn't say he worshipped Avodah Zarah. If you see, I keep on repeating myself that he came to clarity and he figured it out. At what age did he stop it? That's already, we could argue, in the Hazalim.
You could have broken the idol because he didn't
believe. Hazak Baruch, Hazak Baruch. But the clarity of Abraham was not till 48. I'm just pointing out that many years before he reached the true Emet. And that's a consolation to many people as well that have a journey until they reach, where they have to reach to. That's now. That being said, as a result of Avraham Avinu, we say Maaseh Avot Siman Debanim. You remember, and this we've said over many times, when Yaakov Avinu has the fight with the angel. I know we're going a little ahead of ourselves. The wrestling match. What happened in that wrestling match? I forget there was I know who won it. I don't want to ruin it for you guys until we get to Parashat Vayishlach. So I won't tell you. But at the end it says, "Vayomer Elav Ma Shemecha." He tells him what's your name. Vayomer Yaakov. Vayomer Lo Yaakov Yamer Od Shemcha. Your name is not Yaakov anymore. Ki Im Yisrael. So it's an amazing thing. It's the Satan that upgraded Yaakov's name to Yisrael. You know, we forget that. Right. Satan, now that's a great gift from Satan, to be honest with you. Especially if we're saying that Yisrael is the higher name. I mean, listen, you lost the event. You lost the wrestling match. Okay, you got to give him any gift. Yaakov didn't ask for any consolation prize. Right. He didn't ask for any purse money. You won. He's happy you won. Finish. You know, I'm giving you a gift. He tells him, Lo Ya'amer Od Shemcha Yaakov. Your name is not going to be called Yaakov. Ki Im Yisrael. Now, later on in the Perasha, this is the part that has to be clarified. Later on in the Perasha, the Pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. He actually comes to that city that we talked about today, Salem. And the Pasuk says, he builds a Mizbeach, and he serves God, and then all of a sudden God appears to him. And he tells him the following. Aha, Hazak Baruch. Vayom Elo Elohim, Shemcha Yaakov. Your name, Yaakov. Lo Yekare Shemcha Od Yaakov, Ki Im Yisrael Yeshemecha. Your new name is Yisrael. Yaakov should have told God, thank you, Borei Olam, but that I have already. So I'll take something else. I'll take something else. Somebody else gave me that. I have this already. Somebody gives you a gift. I have this already, but I don't want to waste it. Please, take it back. Give me something different. Now, the reason why he doesn't tell him that because he knows that God knows that he got it already. And if he's still giving it to him, that means he's giving him something different that the Malach didn't give him. And It has to be that the Malach, the Satan, was not giving gifts to Yaakov. The Satan is the Satan who am Malach Amavet who Yetzirara. Understand? So when the mobster gives you a gift, you be very cautious when he's giving you it. There's an ulterior motive when he's giving you the gift over there. You understand? Vayomed lo Elohim shemcha Yaakov. So the explanation I say is like this. The angel came along and said, Yaakov, you're such a big man, you fought angels, you're a spiritual man like that. Your new name is Yisrael. Now Yisrael is not your primary name. Yisrael is your exclusive name. Listen to the way he said it. Mm-hmm. He told them, Shimcha, lo Yaakov ye'amer od Shimcha. They're not going to use the name Yaakov anymore. So he didn't add a name. What he did was, he changed his name. Ki'im Yisrael. Now what is that? That's a liability. Mm-hmm. Because he was basically saying that as long as Bnei Yisrael, your children, live on that high level, then they're worthy of the blessings. But once they start to fall and they're not living on that level of Yisrael, they're punished. And the Satan knows that it's impossible to live your whole life on the level of Yisrael. So basically when he was giving him a gift with a thorn in it. You understand what he was doing? Because if your name is Yaakov, Yaakov represents Ekev. Ekev is the heel. Ekev means the low. Sometimes the Jew is in the level of Yaakov. Sometimes he's able to rise to the level of... Now, if the name Yaakov remains, that means God will tolerate us even when we are low. Because God knows that from Yaakov, we move up to Israel. But if we don't have an option to... Shalom, then the justice is very strict. So this was not a name extension, this was, like you said, a name change. Borei Olam comes along and says something very different to Yaakov. Vayomer lo Elohim, Shemcha Yaakov. He tells him, I'm not changing your name. Your name is Yaakov. And if you look at the Nikudot on that, there's a period. There's an atnah. Shemcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. Don't listen to the Satan. Your name is still Yaakov. Now, lo yikare shemcha od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshemecha. Not only is it going to be Yaakov, but we're adding Yisrael. Much different. As a result of this, not Bnei Yisrael have... You know, we have a chance. We have a chance to... Otherwise, Christ has no chance. Now, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Nabanim. That first time you see that a Jew has an ability to go from Yaakov to Yisrael is by where? Avraham Avinu. You see it by Avraham. Avraham Avinu was on the lowest level. Metechila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu. It's the Haggadah of Pesach, says that. Who's Avotenu? Avotenu. And then what happened to Avraham? He went from the lowest level and he said, look, you can come to be Avraham Avinu, the greatest man of his generation, greatest man of all time. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that what happened to Avraham? Avraham reached such levels that God changed his name from Avraham to Avraham. Hatam Sofer says Avraham equals 243. Avraham with the A equals 248. Avraham Avinu was able to sanctify all 248 limbs in his body, including the parts of the body that are practically out of a person's control, like the smell, the eyes, all these limbs were So by adding that hey, God was telling Abraham, you are a perfect specimen. You are perfect. You're from the Ramah Ibarim is this is somebody that was on the polar other side. And look what happened. So you know what we learn from the turnaround of Abraham's life? We learn that God accepts the Jew even if he's like Yaakov and not Israel. So the Pasuk says, Va'agadela Shemecha, I'm going to make your name great. Ze she'omrim Elohei Yaakov. That's where we get to say Elohei Yaakov. We asked, what is that got to do with Yaakov? That when we see how you became great, Abraham, your name became great, you went from Terach's son to Abraham. That teaches us that Klal Yisrael, Borei Olam has patience for Klal Yisrael, and therefore even they had a history of Yaakov, Borei Olam is patient with them, because he knows one day they can reach the levels of Yisrael. And that's a great moral of a story that we can learn from Abraham Avinu. So a person shouldn't say to himself, Hagam, you don't know my history, what I did. Now you know me now when I started. You don't know what I... Because what you did. That was your, so then you were Yaakov. You're on the lower level. The Yerushalmi writes in Berachot. I don't know if I could find it. We have Yerushalmi here, but I might have it on my phone. You do have it? You want to bring Yerushalmi Berachot? I don't know if I could find it. Let's see if this thing has it. Let's see here. We have Gemara. Yerushalmi, how about that? Zera'im Berachot. Here. Aleph. Let's see over here what it says. So the Yerushalmi is in Berachot. It's in Halakha Perek He, Halakha Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav Chizkiya, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Rabbi Yasa, B'Shem Rabbi Yohanan. Le'olam lo yehe ha-pasuk hazeh Zaz mitoch picha. This pasuk should never leave your lips. I tell you, there's a certain pasuk that you should always have it, you know, in your lips, always uttering it. And what is that pasuk? Adonai Sevaot imanu niskavlanu Elohei Yaakov Selah. That's the Yerushalmi. You should always say that pasuk. Hashem Sevaot Imanu Miskav Lanu Elohei Yaakov Selah. What's so special about that pasuk? Because Klal Yisrael, they have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us and He loves us, like we say in the prayer, Ahavat Olam Mahavtanu, it's an unconditional love. And once a person knows that Hashem loves him unconditionally, he can come back. And even when he's not on the highest level that he could reach, when he's Bibhinat Yaakov, he's still connected to Hashem. That's why we say, Lam Naseyah Mizmor Le David, Ya'amcha Adonai B'yom Sarai, Yisagibcha Hashem Elohei Yaakov. That Yisagibcha, that God will protect you even Bibhinat Yaakov. And that's what, listen, there's sometimes when a person, he's praying the Amidah, and he has all the Kavanot, and he has every word, he's able to caress and give the proper. And then sometimes he prays, and it's lip service. And sometimes his whole service is lip service, meaning he's doing the mitzvot, but he's going through the motions. That's Bibhinat Yaakov. When I say Yaakov, I don't mean he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. That's not Yaakov, that's Esau. Yaakov means he's serving God, but he's not serving it, It's lip service, like the Navi said. Mitzvat anashim ulumada. So even then, when it's not on the highest level of Israel, so the Yerushalmi is saying, Le'olam lo yazuz pasuk zeh mipicha. That even if the service is mipicha, even if the service is, it's just mipicha. Even when you're going through the stages where it says mipicha, but this pasuk should not leave you. Even at the times of mipicha, even at the times where it's just robotic. And what's that pasuk? Miskavlanu Elohei Yaakov. That even when we have the Bechinav Yaakov, Miskavlanu, Bore Olam protects us. V'agadela Shemecha Zeh She'omrim Elohei Yaakov Ve'lo Elohei Yisrael. The Satan wanted to take that only perfect service is accepted to God. But service that's not perfect, get a zero. God said, no, Shemcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. Now you want an extra name Yisrael, which is a different madriga. We'll add that to your license, but we're not taking away your first name, Yaakov. And that's the midrash. There's some midrash that writes that in Avraham Avinu's time, they minted a coin, and they put on one side there was an image of a young bahur and bahura, youngsters, and on the other side. Zaken, elderly people. And they put it on, you know, one coin, that's the way they minted it. And what's the musar of it? That even though in the youth of Avraham, it wasn't a perfect youth, it clearly was not. We cannot deny the facts. Maimonides writes it when he starts to tell us about the history of Avraham Avinu. Vehu imayim, he writes. He's with them. But look what happened in his elder years. Avraham Avinu becomes the greater, and therefore the Torah is coming to hint us in this coin over here that even if the one side of the coin wasn't perfect, but the end of it's put on one coin as if to say that that person, of course, he has harata, he has remorse. That's the story of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, that story of Avraham allows us to return to God. Even if our reputation was compromised at a younger years when we didn't know better, like Avraham Avinu in the time, what can he know from Terah? So therefore, Elohei Yaakov is the greatest compliment. And that's the Maaseh Avot Siman Nabanim. Avraham Avinu is able to create that Elohei Yaakov. Because that's his story. That's what happened to him. That part of the Maaseh Avot Siman Nabanim is that journey of Avraham. So Vagadela Shemecha is already hinting to Azeh Sheomrim Elohei Yaakov.